If God had not spoken, if God had not made himself known, faith would be utterly impossible. If God had not made promises, if God had not revealed himself, we could have no assurance of things hoped for, no conviction of things that are not seen. All we would have would be vague speculation, guesswork, hoping for the best, dreaming, and opinions about what might be. But here's the good news. God has spoken. He has revealed himself. He has made great and precious promises, and that is why faith is possible.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we're continuing a message we began last time, talking about how faith is defined. And Colin, so many people have ideas about what faith actually is, but it sounds like you're saying, no, God has clearly defined faith for us.
Yeah, well, faith, very simply, is a believing response to what God has said. And that's actually the most wonderful good news, because all of us, therefore, are in a position where we can come and make that response. Steve, I speak to folks from time to time who will say something like, you know, well, it's all very well for other people to have faith, but I don't think I'm that kind of person. I don't think I have it in me. I'm not the kind of person to have faith. Well, if you've said that, I want to encourage you today. You know, faith is possible for every person because faith is a believing response to what God has said. And so the starting point for faith is to listen to what God has said. That's what we seek to do together as we open the Bible. That's what we're going to do today in the program in Hebrews in chapter 11. So as the Word of God comes, faith is formed as a believing response to what God has said. And God has said the same thing to every person on the planet. And it's good news that God has spoken to each and every one of us.
Well, we're going to continue to look at that good news. If you can, grab your Bible. Join us in Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our message, Faith Defined. Here is Pastor Colin.
Faith trusts what God has promised. It believes what God has said he will do. And then notice that faith relates not only to things hoped for, but also to things that are not seen. Now, the things that are hoped for don't yet exist. We don't possess them. Redeemed bodies, spotless churches, perfect world, none of these are yet in existence. But the things that are not seen are different. They are present realities. The things not seen are things that are already in place, except that they are not in the visible world. Let me give you again three examples. Right now, Jesus Christ is exalted at the right hand of the Father. That's a present reality. It's not something that we hope one day will happen. He's there now. We don't see it because heaven is beyond our view. But right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and he's seated there for me and for you. Second example. All who are in Christ Jesus are forgiven, loved, and destined for glory. These are present realities. We don't see them because the work of the Holy Spirit is hidden from our view. But right now, if you are in Christ, you are forgiven. You are loved. And you are destined for a glorious inheritance that will be kept in heaven for you. Third example, right now, God is in sovereign control of everything that happens in your life and everything that happens in this world. That's a present reality. Now, again, we don't see this. It's hidden from our view because God's providence is hidden from our view. But God works in all things for the good of those who love him. That's a present reality. Now, you say, well, how do we know? How can we be convinced with regards to the things that are not seen? How can we be convinced that we really do have a living Savior, that we really are forgiven and loved and destined for glory in Christ, and that God really is sovereign over all things? Well, again, the answer is that these are the things that God has revealed. And faith believes what God has revealed. And at this point, the writer to Hebrews gives really the perfect illustration of believing something that we have not seen. And that illustration, of course, is the creation. No one was around at the creation of the world to observe or record that particular event. So he says, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. How do we know how the world was made when no one was there at the time to observe what happened? The creation is one of those things, by definition, that was not seen. So how do we know that God created the world? And the answer is that he revealed it. God made himself known to Moses. God said to Moses, in effect, in the beginning, I created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void, and my spirit brooded over the face of the waters, and I spoke. And I said, let there be light, and there was light, and I formed the first man from the dust of the ground. Now, faith believes what God has revealed. It rests on what God has said. That is why in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we're told that faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the word of Christ. Very simply, if God had not spoken, if God had not made himself known, faith would be utterly impossible. If God had not made promises, if God had not revealed himself, we could have no assurance of things hoped for, no conviction of things that are not seen. All we would have would be vague speculation, guesswork, hoping for the best, dreaming, and opinions about what might be. But here's the good news. God has spoken. He has revealed himself. He has made great and precious promises, and that is why faith is possible. Because faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. It rests, in other words, on the word of God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Now, from that very important foundation and definition from which everything else in Hebrews in chapter 11 flows, I want this morning to make three very practical applications. The first is a negative one, but it is really, really important. And it's this. Faith, then, is not a capacity that some people are born with. Faith is not a capacity that some people are born with. Now, think about this in other spheres of life. Some people are naturally athletic. I know that training is very hard work, and acquiring skills in any particular sport takes hours and hours and hours of practice. But some people just have a propensity for this in them, and others of us, well, not so much. However hard some of us worked, we would never be able to compete with our more athletic peers. It's the same in so many other spheres of life. Art, music. We can all have a go, but some people have this in them. And they work very hard to develop that talent, but there's something innate in them that is a gift that they then cultivate. And for the rest of us, however hard we worked, we could never get to the place where these more gifted folks in this area are. Now, we understand this across many, many areas of life. So it would be very easy for us to think that it's the same when it comes to faith. And I've heard people say this many times, and I expect you have as well. Oh, well, some people have a disposition towards faith, but not me. I'm not one of them. I'm just not wired that way. I don't think I could ever believe. Now, if you have ever said that or thought that, I want to say this to you today. If faith was something that lies within us, it would be terribly unfair. God would have put some people in a position of advantage in which it was much easier for them to believe. Some would be privileged in a way that put them in a place where they were much more likely to be saved, and others would barely have a chance. And I want to say as clearly as I can that faith is not a capacity that some people are born with. Hebrews chapter 11 makes this very clear. Faith is that which believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. It's not a disposition that some people just happen to have in them.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and the first message in our series, Living by Faith. Our message is called Faith Defined, and we've been really taking a look at the definition of faith, and we've begun to see what its practical applications are for us today. If you ever miss part of the series, come to the website and listen online. Our website address is unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Hebrews, so grab a Bible and join us in chapter 11. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Faith believes what God has revealed. Faith trusts what God has promised. And here's the thing. God has given exactly the same promises and exactly the same revelation to all people. So no one has an advantage over anyone else when it comes to this matter of faith. It is not a capacity that some people are born with. Second, faith involves personal trust based on compelling evidence. That is, it believes what God has revealed, it trusts what God has promised, so it involves a personal trust that is based on compelling evidence. Now, it's very important to grasp this. God does not lean out of heaven, as it were, with a clenched fist, shouting at us, believe, believe, you got to believe, you got to believe, you got to believe. Think about how he deals with us. When he takes flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you find? Does Jesus come up to some men standing with their nets beside boats and say to them, I'm the Son of God, you better believe it? No, he doesn't do that. What does he do? He forms a relationship with these men and he says to them, now you come and follow me. And as they follow him, he makes himself known to them. They get in a boat with him one day. And there's a storm that blows up. They think it's the last day of their lives. And Jesus speaks to the storm a word of command. The lake is stilled. And they say, now, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And as they hear what he said, and as they watch what he did, they are compelled by the evidence of what they hear and what they see to this conclusion. Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now, is that the end of the matter? No, of course it's not. Like ours, their faith was mixed up with many doubts and with many blunders. But through it all, faith believes what Christ has revealed and trusts what Christ has promised. And it is based on the compelling evidence of what they heard him say and what they saw him do. Now, at the end of John's gospel, and this is very wonderful, John tells us why his gospel, indeed all four of the gospels, were written. And he says this, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see what he's saying? The gospels give you exactly the compelling evidence that the first disciples saw and heard. What Jesus did, what Jesus said. This was the compelling evidence that led them to faith, and it's here in the gospel so that you can look at the same evidence and come to the same conclusion. Faith is not some innate disposition that's in some people and not in others. No, it's a relationship of trust that is based on compelling evidence, and that compelling evidence in regards to what God has said and what God has done, what God has promised, that is offered to every one of us. You can open it. That's why we have the Bible open in front of us. That's how faith is formed. Come and see. Look at what he said. Listen to what he promised. Faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. Now, maybe there's someone here today who says, well, yeah, you don't understand, Pastor. I don't trust. I can't trust. But let me ask you this. Why don't you trust? See, your distrust is based on compelling evidence. The compelling evidence of your own experience. What other people have said, what other people have done. You have seen that other people let you down. And from that compelling and repeated evidence in your life, you have drawn a conclusion, which is that you will not trust. Your distrust is based on the compelling evidence of your own experience. But can you see today that faith is also based on compelling evidence, not the evidence of your experience, but the evidence of Scripture? And God invites you today to come out of your broken world with all of its disappointments and discover a new and different world. He invites you to look away from what other people have done and what other people have said and to find hope in what God has said and in what God has done. And then in this chapter that we're going to follow in the coming weeks, he also invites us to look at other people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab, and to see that they believed what God revealed and they trusted what God has promised. And that is remarkable because these people also, when we look at their stories, we're going to see in this series that they also were broken. They also were abused. They also had been let down. I mean, honestly, who would you trust if you were Rahab and had been abused in the way that she was? Who would you trust if you had been lied to like Sarah? Who would you trust if you had been falsely accused like Joseph? And yet, despite all of their brokenness, despite all of their experience, these people believed. And their faith was based on compelling evidence, and the same evidence is available to you right now in the Scriptures. That's why there's hope for you. There's more than your broken world. Faith is not a capacity that some people are born with. Faith involves a personal trust that is based on compelling evidence that is given to you and to me and to all people in the Scripture. Third and last, faith will enable you to endure under unrelenting pressure. How wonderful this is and how much we need it. That's why we're coming to Hebrews in chapter 11 in these weeks. This chapter offers what I would describe as robust encouragement. It really is robust. And I find that I need this chapter, especially when I'm feeling sorry for myself. And I expect that there are times when you need this too. Remember that these chapters were first written to Jewish believers who had endured a really, really rough time, as many of us are enduring tough times today. So let me just, in these last couple of minutes, give you a kind of overview of the whole of this section of the Bible, from the end of chapter 10 all the way through chapter 11 and all the way through chapter 12, because it's really one section that has one central message, and it goes something like this. These are difficult days for you. Chapter 10, verse 32, you've come through a lot since you came to faith in Jesus. Chapter 10, verse 34, you've come through it with great resilience. But here's the thing, you're not done yet. You've got a long way still to go. And verse 36 of chapter 10, what you need is endurance. The only way you're going to get endurance is by faith. My righteous one shall live by faith, verse 38. So here's what you need to grasp. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith believes what God has revealed and trusts what God has promised. Now think about what faith has enabled other people to endure. I mean, you've had your property plundered, but chapter 11 and verse 38, there are other people who were reduced to living in dens and in caves. You've been mocked and laughed at and insulted, made to feel that you're outside the mainstream and all of that. But others, chapter 11, verse 37, have been sawn in two. And think about Jesus and what he had to endure. Chapter 12 and verse 3, he was nailed to a cross. Now you have endured hard things and you have done well, but now you're getting discouraged. So here's what you need to remember. Chapter 12 and verse 4, in your struggle, you have not yet got to the point of having to shed your blood, but other people have. And they have believed what God has revealed and trusted what God has promised, and by faith they endured. So here's what you have to do. You must run with endurance the race that is set before you, chapter 12 and verse 2. You must keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You must remember all that he endured and think about the glory that now surrounds him and one day will surround you. And so chapter 12 and verse 12, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Because chapter 12, verse 24, you belong to Jesus. And he is the mediator of a better covenant. And chapter 12, verse 28, you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Pastor Colin Smith here on Unlocking the Bible, wrapping up our message, Faith Defined. The first in our series, Living by Faith, is we're going to spend some time in the series really unpacking Hebrews chapter 11. So hope you'll stay with us. If you ever miss a broadcast, come to the website. It's unlockingthebible.org. Well, this program is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of a book called The 1 Year Unlocking the Bible Devotional. And Colin, there are a lot of one-year devotionals out there. What makes this one different?
Oh, well, I think three things. The first is that it is the Bible. I mean, there are a lot of devotional books that give positive, encouraging thoughts, but they don't really open up the scriptures themselves. This will open up the Bible for you. Second, it will open up the whole Bible. It'll give you the big picture of the Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. A lot of people know stories from the Bible, but don't know the big picture story of the Bible. And the whole Bible is one story, and it points to Jesus Christ. And that's the third thing that I think is distinctive about this. We try to keep showing that every part of the Bible points us to Jesus. He's the center. He's the treasure. And when you see Jesus Christ, there's life and there's light and there's hope in him.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this one-year devotional book. Again, it's called The 1 Year Unlocking the Bible Devotional. It's our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can give by calling us at 1-866-UNLOCKED, or you can go online and give through our website, unlockingthebible.org. Again, the phone number is 1-866-865-6253, or the website, unlockingthebible.org. Thanks for listening. And I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Maybe you've heard the story of Cain and Abel. Well, why did God accept Abel's offering but not Cain's? Find out next time on Unlocking the Bible.